The National Broadcasting Company presents, transcribed, Sir Laurence Olivier in Theatre Royal.
This is Laurence Olivier. Today we've chosen a comical piece by Nikolai Gogol. It's a famous story and has provided the bases for both plays and films. I myself shall be playing the part of Ivan Alexandrovich Lyestakov in Nikolai Gogol's The Inspector General. My name is Ivan Alexandrovich Lyestakov, and by profession I'm a clerk in the civil service at St. Petersburg. I was on my way back to my father's estate in Saratov province when I chanced to fall in with an infantry officer at Penza. It was at the inn there, where we were both stopping overnight, that he suggested a game of cards. I'm rather partial to a hand at piquet, and so down we sat. It was dawn before the game was finished, and by that time, I had lost every ruble I possessed. And that was why I found myself in such a predicament at the next inn on the road. As I had no money left with which to pay for my night's lodging, I'd ended by staying on there for a fortnight, along with my servant, Ozip. Hey, Ozip, stop sprawling on my bed. See whether there's any tobacco left in my pouch.
There can't be. You finished it 4 days ago.
Oh, did I? Yes, I suppose I did. Well, go downstairs and tell them to send up some dinner. I'm starving.
So am I. But that doesn't mean we shall eat. The landlord's told him to send up nothing more.
Why, we're guests at the inn, aren't we?
He says he knows a rogue and a cheat when he sees one, and you haven't paid him a kopeck in over 2 weeks. He says he'll go to the mayor and have you arrested.
Go on, you idiot. That's enough. Tell him to send up some dinner immediately.
Oh, all right.
Immediately.
I'll tell him, but I can't see him doing anything about it.
I've never been so hungry in my life, or seen less likelihood of getting a good square meal. I wondered whether I should pawn some of my clothes, since I'd lost my watch to the card-playing Captain Penza, which only goes to show how desperate I was, for I'd only the clothes I was wearing.
They're bringing your dinner, sir.
Dinner?
The master says it's for the last time, sir, until you pay him what's owed.
Yes, yes, yes. And what have you brought? What, only two courses? Hey, do you call this soup? Why, it's like water.
The master said you needn't have it if you didn't like
it. All right. Leave it there, you idiot. This may be the way you go on with the other guests, but you can't get away with it where I'm concerned, you know. So I don't advise you to try it on. What on earth is this? Meat? It's so tough, I can't eat it. I can't even cut it. Why, it's like the bark of a tree.
Shall I take it away?
No. I'll eat it if it kills me, just to spite them all. And no sauce with it. No pudding to follow. What sort of an inn is this, anyway? Simply fleecing people. For 2 pins, I'd leave.
Oh, sir, the master does wish you would.
Well, that's how things were at the inn, in a pretty bad shape. With the landlord actually threatening to have me arrested to complain about me to the mayor. As a matter of fact, though I didn't know about it at the time, I was already very much on the mayor's mind. In fact, I was under discussion at that very moment, over at the mayor's house.
But whoever can he be, this government inspector? What's he come to pry into?
How do I know? There's always far too much that can be pried into. Far too much for anyone's good. We all know that.
Dear me, yes. But when is he arriving?
That's just it. We don't know. All that Shmihoff would tell me was that an official had arrived in the province with instructions to go into the affairs of the whole district. Also, that he passes himself off as someone quite ordinary. In fact, he's traveling incognito. Shmihoff tells me that the inspector is a very formidable personage, and he advised us to set our affairs in order before it's too late.
But if we don't even know when he's coming...
That's just it. He might even have arrived already, without our knowing it.
Anything.
It's this confounded idea of traveling incognito which makes it all so terrible. He'll drop in on us all of a sudden, when we're least prepared for him, and he'll look round and say, I can just hear him, he'll say, oh, so this is how things are managed here, is it? Who is the judge here? Huh? Lyapkin, hand him over, please.
Oh, good gracious, you wouldn't give me away like that.
I should have no alternative. Then he's bound to inquire into the charitable institutions. Who runs them, he'll ask. Zemlyanka, bring him here at once.
Oh, but this is absolutely terrible. What on earth can we do?
Oh, we must set the whole place to rights at once. Or at least make matters look as reasonable as we can. Somebody may have been complaining about it. Now you, Ivan Kuzmich, you're the postmaster. Couldn't you unseal and read all the letters for a few days and see whether somebody isn't telling a few lies about us to the capital?
Well, of course, I always read the letters. But I've seen nothing so far, at least not about any government inspectors. Some of the letters are very interesting, of course, and very entertaining. Oh. There was one this morning. Now, where is it? I've got it from my...
Oh, we've no time for that sort of thing now. At any minute, the door may open and in come...
He's here! We've seen him! I was saying to Dobson... No. Let me kill him. I got the whole thing in the plug road. I was saying to Bob...
Never mind who was saying it. What is it, man, for heaven's sake?
This government inspector... Incognito, just like you said, and he's staying at the inn, a man from St. Petersburg.
He's here already? Oh, heaven, no, it can't be.
But it is. He's been here for a fortnight, never paying for anything, issuing orders left and right.
Been here for a fortnight? Oh, but this is appalling. Just think what he must have found out already. I must go and pay my respects to him at once. Oh, why did nobody tell me before?
Of course, I wasn't to know about that little scene, which was taking place in the mayor's house on the other side of the town, so that I was really quite alarmed just after I'd finished that really execrable meal at the inn, when there was a knock on the door of my room and the waiter announced...
His worship the mayor.
Good heavens, that scoundrel of a landlord must have...
I humbly wish you good day, sir. It is my duty, as mayor of this town, to see that all visiting gentlemen of rank... I trust that everything is being done for your convenience.
It's not my fault that I haven't paid. I'm expecting some money from St. Petersburg at any moment. It's all the landlord's fault. He gives me beef that's as tough as an old boot, and the soup's quite like cabbage water, and no sauce or pudding.
Oh, you must forgive me, sir. I'll see to it immediately. But if you'll be so good as to allow me, I will arrange for other accommodation immediately.
Other accommodation? I know what you mean. Prison. How dare you threaten me? You don't seem to realize who I am. I'm in the service from St. Petersburg.
Oh,
and,
dear, what a terribly violent man. He must have found out about...
This is an outrage. I'll write to the minister of the very minister. He's a close friend of mine.
Oh, no, sir. Please, sir. My wife and children, sir. I beg you not to ruin...
But why do I care about your wife and children? Is that any reason why I should be put in prison?
Oh, forgive me, sir. It was my lack of experience, and my salary was hardly enough to pay for the tea and sugar. If I did take a few bribes, they were nothing worth mentioning... Few yards of cloth here, two bottles of vodka and cigars. And if the sergeant's widow says I had her flogged, it's all a pack of lies.
You can't frighten me like that, flogging, just because I happen to be short of money for a moment.
Short of money? Oh, of course. If you would allow me to lend you 200 rubles, it would be a great honor. Oh, here, no, please.
But let me
make it 400.
Yes, of course. Thank you very much. I see you're a gentleman, sir. Won't you sit down?
Sit down, sir? Oh, no, sir. I couldn't dream of it. But are you quite sure this room is to your liking, sir? It seems a little damp to me.
Damp? It's a ghastly room. I've never seen so many bugs in a bed in my life. They bite like dogs.
But this is terrible, sir. May I venture to suggest... Oh, no, it would be too great an honor.
Suggest what?
Well, I was about to suggest that you should accept my hospitality during your stay in our town, sir. I have a really excellent room entirely at your disposal. But, of course...
All right. Very kind of you. I shall be delighted.
Oh, this is exceedingly kind of you, sir. I will send word to my wife at once. You'll be overjoyed.
Oh, splendid. Well, I'll have my bags packed and sent over at once. Waiter, let me have my bill, please.
I gave it to you for the second time this morning.
I can't remember your idiotic bills. How much was it?
Oh, my dear sir, I beg you. Have the bill sent to me, my good man. Oh, we really can't have our guests bothered in this way.
Very good, sir.
I must admit, I was rather surprised by the turn that events had taken, but I quickly adapted myself to them. Whoever it was that the mayor had mistaken me for, I was perfectly ready to play the part. Apparently, he seemed to imagine that I was a person of great consequence in the government. And when I tried to suggest that I was merely a gentleman passing through his town in a private capacity, he smiled in a very knowing way, as though he knew better than that. He showed me all over the town, took me back to his house, gave me a superlative dinner, and I must admit, it got me a little intoxicated. In fact, I began to play my part quite well, especially with his wife and daughter.
After St. Petersburg, you must find our country life very dull, I'm sure.
It has its compensations, you know. I'm a very simple man, really. I do my utmost to pass without notice, but I never seem able to get away with it. Someone is sure to say, there goes Ivan Alexandrovich. Everyone knows me, though I have been mistaken for the commander-in-chief of the Winter Palace. If any of you come to St. Petersburg, no, you really, no, really, you really, really, really must come and visit me at my house. Anyone will tell you where it is. I give balls almost every week.
I can just imagine the taste and magnificence of
them. Oh, yes. There's 700 rubles for a single watermelon. I've given before now. Yes, quite a gourmet, they call me. My soup is brought in a saucepan by steamer all the way from Paris. After dinner, we often make up a whist party, the foreign secretary to the French and English and German ambassadors and I. Often enough, I find the minister himself waiting for me.
The minister himself?
Yes, of course. I write a lot of plays and novels in my spare time as well. I can't even remember the titles of many of them. Just dash them off, you know.
Oh, there now. I might have known that you were a celebrated author.
It's nothing, really. It all started when the director of theatres came to me and said, come, old chap, write something for us, will you? Of course, I couldn't refuse.
No.
You know.
And novels as well, you say?
Yes, all that sort of thing. The Queen of, what was the thing I wrote a bit?
The Queen of Spades. I might have known.
Yes, that's right, the Queen of Spades.
Book that it was written by...
Don't
argue, Maria. Oh, really, I'm quite ashamed of you.
Yes, well, Pushkin wrote one Queen of Spades, and then I wrote another one.
Oh, I'm sure it was yours that I read. It was so beautifully written.
Of course, I don't get enough time for writing, really. But it was worse when I was the head of a government department. The director died, and after one or two generals had tried to run the job, they had to come and ask me. I was on the point of refusing. But then I thought he would be sure to get back to the Tsar, and I knew he'd never forgive me if I left him in the lurch. So, very well, gentlemen, I said, I accept the post. Only you'll have to mind what you're doing. You know the sort of man I am. When I arrived at the ministry, there might have been an earthquake. Everyone was shaking and shivering so much. I'm not a man of disciples, you know.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. May I fill your excellency's glass again?
Thank you, yes. I have given a few people things to remember me by. Even the Privy Council is scared of me, and so they might be, after all. I'm in and out of the palace every day. And, of course, they're going to make me a field marshal at any moment. I've always taken my stand. I've always taken my stand. They've taken my...
Merciful heavens! His Excellency has passed out!
In a moment we continue, Theatre Royal with Sir Laurence Olivier.
NBC is all for it. We mean that great American institution, Sundays at Home. And to prove it, we've come up with an all-star listening review designed to promote comfortable, easy-chair living. Tomorrow, talented conductor Guido Cantelli heads the list as he and the NBC Symphony Orchestra bring you another brilliant concert from Carnegie Hall, featuring stirring scores by Stravinsky and Beethoven. Sunday, also, you'll want to hear another discussion session on the latest in the fields of arts and sciences. That's on NBC's mammoth show, Collector's Item. And your Sunday newspaper of the air, Weekend, then brings you the latest news and commentaries with everything from cover story to feature page under such famous bylines as Merrill Muller, Earl Godwin, Tex McCrary, and Elmo Roper. And then later Sunday, it's the Marriotts again, Ben and Liz, in The Marriage, another charming human adventure in matrimonial life. And tomorrow's production of the NBC Star Playhouse is that hilarious comedy of errors, The Major and the Minor, starring June Allison as the little girl who grows up fast when she finds that the handsome man with a uniform has developed a fatherly attitude. All this fine listening is just a sample of what's in store for Sunday stay-at-homers tomorrow, so why not take us up on it? Spend the perfect Sunday at home with the best in entertainment, courtesy of NBC.
And now we continue Theatre Royal with Sir Laurence Olivier.
Yes, I must admit that things have turned out very fortunately for me one way and another. Admittedly, I'd taken far too much to drink over dinner, and it was quite late the following morning when I came down from my room. I don't know how long he'd been waiting, but there was a gentleman to see me.
I have the honor to present myself. Tyapkin, Tyapkin, judge of the district court.
Ah, please sit down. So you're the judge here, eh? Do you find it profitable?
After 9 years of service, I was given the Order of Vladimir, fourth class, with commendation.
Excuse me, you've got something in your hand, I see.
In my... nothing at all, sir.
Look, you've dropped it. what is it? Money? Why, it must be 300 rubles.
Oh, dear, I really hadn't noticed.
I suppose you wouldn't mind lending it to me for a day or two, would you?
No, not at all.
Too kind.
Honest,
sir. Thank you, really.
I wondered whether you had any orders to give me.
Order?
I mean for the district court.
For the district court? No, none at all. Thank you. No, I don't
think
so.
Thank you, sir. Then I won't trouble you further. Your servant, sir.
Very pleasant fellow, the judge, I thought. 2 minutes later, I had more company.
I have the honor to present myself, speaking, court counselor, postmaster.
Ah, pleased to meet you. Sit down, won't you? You live in this town, I suppose.
Yes, sir.
A nice town, I like it. Not so big as Petersburg or Moscow, of course.
Perfectly true, sir.
But one can be very happy in a small town as well. Don't you agree?
Yes, indeed, sir.
You know, a queer thing happened to me on my way here. Got completely cleaned out. I suppose you couldn't lend me 300 rubles.
I should regard it as an honor, sir. Allow me. Only too glad to be of service.
Thank you very much. No point in going short, is there?
No, indeed, sir. You've no observations about the post office?
The post office? No, none at all.
Thank you, sir.
Really, quite a pleasant fellow, the postmaster. Who's to be next, I wonder?
I have the honor to present myself. Zemlyanika, the superintendent of institutions and court counselor.
Oh, good. Do sit down.
You may remember I had the honor of showing you over our hospital yesterday.
Oh, yes, of course. I knew we'd met somewhere. A nice place, well run, comparatively.
Always glad to do my best for the welfare of my country, sir.
Splendid. Then you can probably do me a favor. A queer thing happened on my way here. I lost all my money. You couldn't lend me 400 rubles or so, I suppose?
Oh, certainly, sir. You do me too much honor.
Not at all. Delighted, I'm sure. And so it went on. The inspector of schools, directors of various charities, and some of the most prominent citizens in the town. In all, 2,500 rubles. I was completely charmed by their open-handedness. After all, it wasn't as though they had anything to gain from it. None of them had ever seen me before. I doubt whether they'll ever see me again. What's more?
I think we'd better be moving on, sir. It's high time we were on our way again.
You think so? Whatever for?
Well, we've been very well entertained these last 2 days, but it can't go on like this forever.
Well, why not? Tomorrow will be time enough.
No, sir, really, you know. They've obviously mistaken you for somebody else. We'd better get away before they discover their mistake. They'll give us good horses to the next posting station, and then we'll be safely on our way.
Oh, well, perhaps you're right. But just take this letter to the post for me while you're collecting our traveling passes, will you? And be sure they give us the fastest horses they've got.
I certainly will, sir. You can be sure of that.
Oh, please, Excellency. Yes, come in. Come in, please. Come in.
Hello, what's this? A deputation or something?
Yes, Your Honor. If you'll pardon.
Come in. Well, what can I do for you?
It's the mayor, sir. Yes. There's never been one like him here before. Oh. There's no words to describe what's going on. What with billeting the soldiers on us and taking everything in the shops he can lay his hands on, and advising us to make him a present or other every time his name's day comes around, both of them, and threatening to put us out of business and having us flogged if we don't make the bride large enough.
Dear me, the man sounds like a brigand.
So he is, sir, on my honor. And if you get across with him, he quarters a regiment on you to eat you out of house and business.
He does. Why, it all sounds most irregular. He ought to be sent to Siberia.
Wherever Your Excellency decides to send him, just so long as it's far enough. Begging your pardon, sir, we brought you our humble offerings. A sack of sugar and a few baskets of wine.
Thank you. I'm much obliged to you. For the thought, I mean, of course, I couldn't possibly accept them. You must realize I'm not in the habit of accepting bribes.
No, sir, no. Nothing was further from our thoughts.
I hope so. Of course, if you were to let me have a loan of, say, 300 rubles, that would be another thing. I might agree to accept a loan to oblige you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, sir. We are much indebted.
No, don't mention it, please.
And if Your Excellency could see fit to help us in the matter of sending the mayor to Siberia...
Well, certainly. I'll do what I can for you.
Thank you.
after a few more petitions of a similar order, I was feeling very pleased with the whole business. 4,000 rubles, to be exact. I looked forward to doubling it when I caught up with that captain of infantry who had cleaned me out at cards that night in Penza. But meanwhile, and while I was waiting for Ossip to fetch the post horses, what could be better than a little harmless flirtation? The mayor had a beautiful daughter, and even his wife seemed to be most forthcoming. The only trouble was I couldn't make up my mind which of the two I really preferred.
Excuse me.
No. Come in, my dear. How nice of you to come and keep me company.
Oh, no, really. I thought Mama was here. I'm sure you're very busy, sir.
But your eyes mean more to me than any business. I'm quite delighted to have you come and sit by me.
I don't know. I really ought to be going.
What a beautiful scarf you're wearing.
You're making fun of me, sir, because I'm only a silly country.
No, how I wish I were that scarf, my dear, to embrace those lily-white shoulders.
I don't understand you, sir. Mm. What warm weather we've been having.
Your lips, my dear, are warmer than any weather.
Sir, you say such terrible things.
Your lips and your eyes have charmed me till I can offer you nothing but my love. How happy I should be to take you in my arms and kiss you. Yeah, like this.
Oh, really?
Oh, my darling, it's
that's
so beautiful.
Too much. I shall tell my mother.
Oh, no. Oh, forgive me. I was completely carried away by your beauty. On my knees, I ask your pardon. Oh, it was love that conquered me.
Your Excellency, on your knees, to a silly little chit of a girl.
Your servant, madame.
What is the meaning of this, miss? Nice behavior, I'm sure.
Mamma, His Excellency was ill.
Leave the room at once. Really, Your Excellency, I must own I'm quite shocked.
Madame, I assure you. On my knees, I assure you.
What? On your knees again? Oh, pray, do please get up. The floor's not...
No. On my knees, I beg you. Is it to be life or death?
I don't understand. You are asking me for the hand of my daughter.
No, madam. It is you I'm in love with. My heart is consumed by the terrible fires of love. I am asking for your hand.
But you must know that in a sense I am already married.
No, love cares nothing for such things, madame. We will flee the town together, anywhere, to some bower of bliss where we can be eternally happy together. On my knees, I beg you not to...
How dare you burst in on us like this? And why stand there looking as though you'd lost your senses? You might be a child of three. Nobody would know you're 18. Have you no sense of propriety?
Am I? No.
Oh, you're always in a flutter. You should behave like I do.
Madame, do not oppose our happiness. Your daughter and I are passionately in love with each other.
What? You and Maria? But I thought it was me.
Shh, dear lady. What more convenient way can matters be arranged between us?
Oh, you pretty little.
On my knees, I beg you. Is it to be life or death?
Don't argue with His Excellency, Maria. For the sake of a silly girl like you, His Excellency is on his knees to me. And you rush in, interrupting as though you were out of your mind. Really, you don't deserve my consent at all. I vow you don't.
Oh, Mama, you mean he really wants to marry me? His Excellency...
Oh, of course he does. Don't you, Your Excellency? Mm-hmm. I must really ask my husband to go.
Your Excellency, did he ask me? Those vile shopkeepers and their petition, not a word of truth in it. Lies, slanders, and lies, the lot of it. Even if I did take a few bribes now and again, purely for the dignity of my office, and if they did have the soldiers billeted on them now and again, and occasional flogging, oh, surely, Your Excellency, you wouldn't send me to Siberia for that.
Oh, husband, please control yourself. Excellency has done us the honor to ask for our daughter's hand in marriage.
Oh, I don't care what they said, Your Excellency. It's a lot of lies. I beg you not to believe. His Excellency, what?
His Excellency wishes to marry Maria.
But, why? Oh, I can't believe it. It can't be true. Can it?
I'm desperately in love, sir. If you refuse, I shall shoot myself.
Oh, really? My head's in such a whirl. I beg you, Your Excellency. The shopkeepers are a lot of rogues and thieves.
Oh, bother the shopkeepers. Give His Excellency your blessing, you idiot.
What? Yes, of course. May God bless you, Your Excellency. What the devil? It's true. Why, he's kissing her. Oh, dear. I do hope he doesn't send me to Siberia as soon as they're married.
Perhaps it was just as well that Ossip arrived at that very moment to say that the post horses were ready. Naturally, they were surprised to hear that I was leaving so suddenly, but I explained that it was only for a day at the most while I went to put my affairs in order. Oh, dear, I'd certainly got myself into a devil of a tangle, and no mistake. And for the life of me, I don't know which of the two I should have fallen in love with, if I'd really fallen in love with either. As it was, I mounted my horse and left the town forever to save myself making up my mind. Well, that's the end of the story, so far as I am concerned. How it really ended, I shall probably never know, but I have a very shrewd idea. The letter I'd asked my servant to post was a letter to a friend of mine in St. Petersburg, describing just what a capital time I'd had, and just what a parcel of idiots the mayor and the judge and the postmaster and the rest of them really were. It only occurred to me afterwards that the postmaster was sure to open the letter and read it.
Where is the scoundrel?
Where is who? Oh, really, Speaking. Here are all our friends come to congratulate me on His Excellency's engagement to my daughter, and you burst in like...
He isn't His Excellency at all.
What?
The whole thing's been a terrible mistake. The man is a common adventurer.
What?
A complete scoundrel who lost his money playing cards at Penza. He wrote a letter to a friend in St. Petersburg, and I took the liberty of reading it over at the post office. Look! Read it for yourselves.
What do you mean he isn't a minister at all?
Read his letter, sir, and see what he says about us all.
My dear Triopitchkin, I have had a most wonderful adventure. I lost all my money to a captain at cards in Penza and arrived here completely broke. Oh. The innkeeper was going to have me locked up for the price of his lodgings when my Petersburg manners and get-up suddenly convinced the town that I was an inspector general or something traveling incognito. Oh. Since then, I have been treated like royalty. Oh. The mayor has invited me to stay with him in his home, where I flirt desperately with his wife and daughter. Oh. I wish I could make up my mind which to begin with. Oh. The whole town lends me money, they dine me and wine me, and everybody is scared to death of me, in case I have them sent to Siberia, I suppose. As for the mayor himself, he is as stupid as an old gray horse. An old gray horse? But I can't believe it. You mean he wasn't a government inspector at all?
No more than you or I. Oh. And I lent him the fastest post horses in the station to make his escape with all the money we
had. No, I won't have it. This is too much.
Are you the mayor of this town, sir?
Yes, I am. Is anything...
His Excellency, the Inspector General, has just arrived from St. Petersburg. He's staying at the inn and requires your presence immediately.
This is Laurence Olivier again. I should like, if I may, to thank the cast of today's adaptation of Nikolai Gogol's story, The Inspector General. They included Keith Pyatt, Roger Delgado, John Fraser, Daphne Maddox, Jeanette Stark, Stephen Jack, and Alexander Gage. Next week, I look forward to the pleasure of welcoming you once again to our program. Until then, au revoir, and thank you.
Laurence Olivier starred in today's transcribed program. The script was by Derek Patmore. The music was under the direction of Sidney Torch. Theatre Royal is an NBC presentation, produced and directed by Harry Allen Towers.
Preceding was transcribed. Tonight, enjoy the big preview with Maury Amsterdam on the NBC Radio Network.